to a conclusion, really, as he asked, what's your lesson about this morning? And I said, well, talking about faith or feelings. And so as he was putting up his songs, all these songs about faith, he really must have jumped to the conclusion that I'm going to choose faith over feelings. I tell you all the time that I'm not going to present to you any probably new earth-shattering information, right? And so as Mark was looking through those, I'm just going to guess here, he didn't say this, but he may have gone to the back of the book and picked out faith. I don't know if he looked for feelings, but it probably wasn't back there. So it's probably not going to be any earth-shattering new information. And as if you were following along in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, hopefully that came to light, because we are going to pull out and talk about verse 7, which says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Is sight even really a feeling? No, it's something that we see, you know, with our own two eyes. And we have a tendency to trust, you know, that sensation that we have, our own two eyes. And God says, don't even walk by sight. Walk by faith. Have you ever heard of someone saying something along this lines? And a lot of times religious folks will say things like this: experience is better felt than heard. Right? They say that about their religion. Well, don't tell me, you know, what to do. Don't tell me how to act, because my religious experience is going to be better felt than it is heard. Or someone saying, you know, I wouldn't trade how I feel. And usually they'll say this when you point out something that is false about their belief. Well, I wouldn't trade my feelings. I wouldn't trade how I feel for what some book might say. Or they'll say, I feel in my heart that God would act a certain way or wouldn't act a certain way. Or I feel in my heart that this is what I'm supposed to do. Let me ask you this question. Do we use feelings in that way in other areas of our life? Think about business. Think about businessmen. Would they say, you know what, I don't really need to do much research about this. I've got a good feeling. Let's go ahead and invest millions of dollars in this, because I have a good feeling. I don't need to do any research. I don't need to present any research to my boss, because I told my boss that I have a good feeling about this particular investment. Would that fly? No. In fact, they would probably at that moment say, we're not going to need you tomorrow. You can go ahead and pack your stuff and stay at home. What about education? You know what, Mom, Dad, I've got a test tomorrow, but I don't really need to study because I've got a good feeling about this test tomorrow. Is that going to fly at home? No, of course not. What about in medicine? You go into the doctor and the doctor looks at you and says, you know what, I got a good feeling that you're healthy. And wait a minute, I feel sick. I've got all these things that I think are wrong with me. Ah, don't worry about it, because I feel like you're okay. I feel like you're fine. What about marriage? You know what? We went out once, Mom, Dad. I've got a good feeling. I think I'm going to go ahead and marry this guy or this girl. Good idea? No. We don't need to date. We already know it's a feeling. Love at first sight. Right? We already know that we're in love. We already know that we're going to get married. So why not just do it now? You might say something along the lines of, over my dead body. Right? We don't think this way in any other area of our life. So why, when it comes to religion, do we say, you know what, I feel like God would do this or God wouldn't do that? I believe we say this or do this because God's way is often more difficult. The way I feel about certain things is easier. And God's way is going to be harder, and God's way is probably going to require us to change and admit that our feeling in some way was wrong. and that we need to change. And so it's going to be more difficult, and so I will stick to my feelings. Well, let's find out this morning where feelings can lead us. At best, feelings are unreliable, and they are very often wrong. Look at 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5, very familiar story to us. In the example of this army captain named Naaman, he was the captain of the Aramean army. And as he comes to Elisha, and Elisha Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends his servant out and says, "Go wash in the Jordan, right? And you'll be clean." Well, this didn't set very well with Naaman because he felt like Elisha should come out, wave his hands over him, and heal him at that moment. And so notice what it says of Naaman. But Naaman was furious, and he went away and said, "Behold, he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper." See, this is what I felt like should happen. But that's not how it happened, and so I'm going to be upset and I'm going to walk away. Basically, Naaman said, "I'm going to take my ball and I'm going to go home. I don't want to play with you anymore. Because you're not doing it the way that I wanted you to or I felt like you should do." What about the New Testament in Acts chapter 26 and verse 9? Paul says, "So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." See, Paul did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. He had a feeling that Jesus was wrong. And so he had a feeling that God would want him to not only persecute Jesus and do harmful things to him, but also persecute his followers. Now, there's a couple things wrong with this. Number one, even if Paul was right about Jesus, that Jesus was not who he said he was, would God have wanted him to persecute and murder him or his followers? Or would God have wanted him to be patient with them, be kind, teach them the right way? So no matter how you look at it, Paul's feelings were wrong. Let me ask you this question. Have your feelings ever changed throughout the years? I can remember adamantly when Peyton was born saying, "We have enough kids. We have one of everything they make, right? We have one boy, one girl. We've got one of everything. Why would we want to be greedy and have any more? Two kids." Has my mind changed? I think she just continues to sneak kids. I think I wake up every morning and there's a new one. And she'll say, no, that one was here. It'd been here for weeks. Sure, our minds change, don't they? Our feelings about things change, don't they? We know that they do. So why would we think that would be a good marker for our religious actions toward God? I feel that God would want me to do this. And then later on, I feel that He would want me to do something else or something different. God's Word doesn't change in that way, but our feelings do. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine." That's what our feelings do. "By the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." We hear someone say something, that's a good idea. I feel like that guy's right. I feel like that guy's being honest with me. Oh, that's a good point. I feel like that guy is being honest with me now. But his thoughts contradict this person's thoughts, so I'm going to go over here now. See how we can be carried about if we're not grounded in our faith? In the third verse of Jude, it says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was, notice, once delivered for all and handed down to the saints." Which was once for all. One time, faith was delivered. But do our feelings change quite often? Certainly they do. Which is going to be more grounded? Which is going to be more in line with God's Word? Feelings are certainly going to vary from person to person. The way that you feel may not be the way that I feel about something. But see, as we read in Jude, the third verse, faith is very stable. It's constant. It's not going to change from day to day. It's not going to change from person to person. It's going to be a constant. Feelings are only going to lead to division. You see the progression that happens? Well, if feelings vary from person to person, then the only route that we can go down is division. Well, I don't feel that way. So I don't want to be around you because you feel a different way than I feel. See, faith is not like that. Faith leads to unity, which is better. Feelings make Scripture unnecessary. We don't need this Bible. We don't need what we have in front of us if we have our feelings, if we feel that God is telling us to do something and we need to do it. Then this is completely unnecessary. You don't need it. If we are walking, if we are acting by feelings, we do not need God's Word. However, faith makes feelings unnecessary. Not that we can't have feelings about certain things, but when it comes to religious things, basically how I feel about something is completely unnecessary. Well, I feel like we should have a piano because the music sounds better. It's invalid. Right? That's maybe my feeling about something, but it doesn't cause that to be true. I feel like we should partake of the Lord's Supper on Thursday. And you may say, well, that's ridiculous, but that's actually the day that Jesus taught His disciples what to do on the first day of the week. So I feel like that's a better day to do that because that's when they did it. Are my feelings valid? No. Because Jesus said, when I'm gone, right, on the day that I resurrect, when I come back, this is what you're going to do when I'm gone. He was giving them some future indications of what He wanted them to do after He was gone. Not do it on Thursday because this is when I've had you do it and I'm going to be, you know, crucified the next day. But it was the night before that He told them how to partake of the Lord's Supper. My feelings are unnecessary. I may feel that way, but my feelings are unnecessary because God has explicitly told us when He wants us to partake of the Lord's Supper, and that is on the first day of the week. Faith, feelings can only lead us in the wrong direction. Now, where does faith lead? And I want to say that that's just the point, right? Faith leads. Look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, notice this, but also who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. What was that again? Follow in the steps of faith. Faith leads. Right? Faith is going to lead us in the right directions. Feelings don't really lead us at all. It's like the wind that drives us in every different direction because our feelings are going to change. And we go wherever our feelings are said to lead us, but it's actually just blowing in the wind. It's not really a direction. But see, we follow in the steps of faith. Faith leads us to where we need to be. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, part of our scripture reading for this morning, for we walk by faith and not by sight, and not even by feelings. God is going to be our best bet for the directions that we need to get to Him. In Isaiah 55 in verse 8, we're told, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Basically, His thoughts, His ways are better. God's thoughts, God's feeling, God's direction is much greater than ours. We need to trust His. We need to follow His. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, we're told, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. It's not in there, right? You cannot direct your own footsteps, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. We can't get where we're going just by having ourselves, our own mind, our own thoughts, our own feelings. We can't get there. It's not in a way. God has not put it in us to get where we need to go just with ourselves. We need Him. We have to have Him. We have to have His directions. And I want us to understand this morning that our feelings are not a substitute for our faith. Whatever we may feel about a certain subject, a certain topic, maybe it's something that we've heard our entire lives and we feel very strongly about that. If it's not what God has directed us to do, then we need to change. Because our feelings are not valid. They are not a substitute for faith. They never will be. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 2, I want to ask if feelings are a good substitute here. And according to Paul's custom, again, he's traveling around and he's going into the synagogues. He's spending several weeks in the synagogues on the Sabbath. But according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from his feelings? No. He reasoned with them from the Scriptures. He didn't say, well, I really feel that God means this, or God says this, or God wants us to do this. Is feeling a good substitute here for the reading of Scripture, which Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us will lead us to faith? No. What about a couple of verses down here in verse 11? Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining their feelings daily to see whether these things were so. Are feelings a good substitute here for Scripture? For the reading of Scripture that leads us to faith in God? Can we substitute our feelings here that they reasoned with their feelings to see whether the things they were doing were right? No, it's not a good substitute. What about John, the second chapter in verse 22? So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed their feelings. No, they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. They didn't recall a feeling that they had. In fact, they completely misunderstood what Jesus had said. They were thinking very physically, and so they had their mind on something very physical. And then when Jesus, when these things start recounting in their minds, oh yeah, this is what He meant. This is what He said. They felt a different way before. So they weren't trying to recall their feelings. They were trying to recall what God had said, what Jesus had said. They didn't follow after their feelings. They followed after Scripture and the Word which Jesus had spoken. Faith leads us in the right direction. I just want to end this morning by giving an example of both, putting both of these things into practice. Let's look first at Josiah. If you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, if we remember the account of King Josiah, King Josiah was very young when he became king, but at some point, right, he starts, as Mark mentioned even this morning, right, those good kings, one of the things that they started doing was tearing down all of those, you know, mounds and hills and temples, tearing all of those things down So there was no more worship going on. And so Josiah was kind of trying to clean up a little bit. And they found the book of the law because he was cleaning up the temple. And they found the book of the law in there. And Shaphan was reading that law. And notice what it says in verse 19 of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. Now, this is a reaction. This is a feeling. This is an emotion for Josiah. He is hurt that the children of Israel are not following after the commands of God. He's reading something in Scripture that is not matching what they're doing, and he tears his clothes as a reaction to that. But I want you to notice what he does next. Then the king, in verse 20, commanded Hilkiah, Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, Abdonon the son of Micah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book which has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord which is poured out on us because our fathers have not observed the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. So he has an emotional reaction. And again, feelings and emotion are okay. We just can't guide our lives by them. So he has an emotional reaction and he tears his clothes to show that emotion. And then he says, I want you to go and check and see what God wants me to do. See what God wants us to do. What would most of us do in that situation? Oh, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, and we have an emotional reaction. But so often, as human beings, we allow that emotional reaction to lead us to our next step instead of checking to see what God wants us to do. We take that emotion and we say, this is what I'm going to do. Right? We may look at things that we do and you know, good for you guys. This really hasn't changed much since we've been in COVID. Good for you. But there are a lot of churches where that's going down and down and down and down and down. We might have an emotional reaction and say, what are we going to do? Right? If those numbers keep going down, how are we going to, you know, pay the light bill? How are we going to pay the preacher? How are we going to, you know, help if something pops up? There may be an emotional reaction to that. Say, oh no, we're in a difficult spot here. What do we do? Well, let's start thinking of some other ways where we can get this back up. Time out. There are plenty of ways to make money. Right? I worked in the financial industry and in the business industry for a long time. There are plenty of ways to make money if you want to just make money. Which is what a lot of churches do. In response to, we don't have as much anymore. All right, we're not getting as much income from our giving, and so we have to stretch outside of that to bring something else in. That's an emotional reaction. No, let's go and find out how God wants us to do this. It is a free will offering that He wants us to do. Here's the key. It's not even about the money. What happens is we realize with that money going down, 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 what it means is there are less and less people here. The money is not the focus. The people are. Why is it that we have more of an emotional reaction to the money going down, 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 down than we do when we see the people leaving, 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 leaving? But in either case, we have to stop and say, what does God want us to do? Basically, God wants the people here. I won't say that He doesn't care about that number. But He doesn't care about that number. It's this number that He cares about. That number will take care of itself if this number is where it needs to be. And the hearts of the people are where they need to be. We have to be careful about our emotional reaction to things. And I think Josiah teaches us how to properly react. because he has an emotional reaction, but he seeks what God's will is before he starts to make decisions on how to change. Let's go to the New Testament in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 28. Here we have the Mount of Transfiguration. He leaves most of the disciples, but takes Peter, James, and John a little bit further with him. So starting in verse 28, some 8 days after these things, he took along Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothes became white and gleaming. Behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep. But when they were fully awake, and I think that's important, Peter doesn't react while he's still tired and in this kind of dream state. They were fully awake. They saw the glory of the two men standing with him. And as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here." Yes, it is. But he says, "Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. Much like Josiah, Peter has an emotional reaction to something great. Right? Josiah is reading the book of the law, or he's hearing the book of the law and saying, "This is what God wants us to do, and we're not doing it." And he has an emotional reaction. But then he goes and says, "What? Go find out and see what God wants me to do." Here, Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be. This is wonderful what you have allowed us to see. I'm going to make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." And even Scripture says he said that not realizing what he was saying. He did not understand. He allowed his emotions, as he sometimes did. Emotion's okay, but he allowed his emotion to direct what his action was going to be. Now, verse 34, while he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one." Important, listen to him. Not Moses, not Elijah. As great as these men may have been, they were men. Peter, you've overstepped. There's no need to build a tabernacle for Moses and for Elijah. This is my Son. Listen to him. He is the important one. Peter is emotional here, which is okay. We all would have been emotional that day, at least I hope. But he doesn't inquire. He just tells Jesus what he wants to do. He doesn't say, "Jesus, it is good for us to be here. What do you want us to do? How do you want us to celebrate this moment?" That's what Josiah did. "What do you want me to do? How do you want us to celebrate?" Then Jesus could have given instruction to him. But what Peter does is says, "This is what I feel like doing. This is what God is calling me to do. This is what my feelings are telling me to do." And they were wrong. Do you think ours can be wrong too? Of course they can. Now, the more that we are guided, the more that we are directed by God, the more that we would be able to trust our feelings. But why trust our feelings when God has stated so plainly what he wants us to do? Can we see the difference in these two men and their reaction? Emotion is okay, and I will say this, and we lack it sometimes. You know, there are times, I think, when we're, you know, "Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory." Right? We have faith, it's our victory. We sing about heaven, it's okay to smile. It's okay to enjoy singing about heaven. As Drew is reading about what persecution our Savior was going to go through. And how very aptly pointed to ourselves as the reason for what He went through. It's okay to get choked up. It's okay to be sorrowful. It is okay to cry right here in this building. Emotion is okay. We cannot have it direct our worship to God, though. We can't say, I'm so emotional, I'm so sad, this is what I'm going to do. Or I'm so happy, this is what I'm going to do. It's okay to have emotion, but that emotion needs to be directed by God. He needs to tell us what He wants us to do. So emotion is okay, but emotion needs to encourage us to do the right thing. I give my sports analogies all the time, but you know that I played basketball for longer, really, than any other sport, because I played it in college. And I was not the greatest athlete in the world. However, I tried to be smart. I tried to do things fundamentally right. And I tried to know my opponent better than he knew himself. I knew which guys, if I could get them to be a little bit angry, they would not play very well. Then there were other guys that the last thing I wanted to do was make them angry. They were already bigger, stronger, faster than me. I didn't want to make them angry, because that anger in some people allows them to play their game better. It actually, that anger that builds up, it gives them focus. It slows them down. It causes them to think more about what they're doing. And they take all of that anger and they put it into the game. See, a lot of people put all that anger and they put it on you. And I would take that anger if they wouldn't play very well. I'll take all the anger you've got if you're going to play like garbage. We have to know ourselves, right? We can't allow ourselves to get emotional and then just do whatever we feel. It's okay to have emotion, but we have to allow that emotion to encourage us to do the right thing. I'm emotional. I'm happy because I'm singing about heaven. So what does God want me to do? Does He want me to start disrupting services and running around the building and shouting and hugging people and kissing them? No. But is it okay to sing a little bit louder? Sing a little bit happier? To look over at your brother or sister in Christ and smile? You better believe it is. It's okay to have emotion. We just can't allow that emotion to direct our path. We still have to let God direct our path, even when we have a little bit of emotion in us. I hope we understand the point of this morning. We have to be able to distinguish the difference between faith and feeling. Feelings are natural and they're very easy because they come automatically. Faith does not. Feelings give us what we want because they're our feelings. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 as we close, it says, "For you have been bought with a price." Notice what he says next. "Therefore, glorify God in your body." Glorify God. Do what God wants you to do because you have been bought with a price. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you may be living by feeling instead of by faith. As we've already mentioned, faith is the victory. Faith is where our victory is, not feeling is where our victory is. You have time and opportunity to become a child of God this very morning by being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. If you're here and you are a child of God who has fallen away, who maybe has gone back to living more by feeling than by faith, there's time and opportunity to make that right with your God this very morning. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.